We thought about this situation for some time and then reached the obvious solution. Of course, what we were running into was the oldest law in the history of human knowledge. It always takes one generation for a new idea to become accepted. The imprinted symbol systems of the older generation cannot tolerate, and indeed shriek with neurological pain, at any idea or method which promises to change the game. Since we had no desire to cause pain, we redirected our communications and deliberately chose to beam our message to the younger generation. In the imprinted symbol system of mother and anyone over the age of 40, the word drug means two things: drug, doctor, disease, or drug, dope fiend, crime. No amount of reason, logic, or experimental evidence is going to change this deeply conditioned reflex. On the other hand, to people under the age of 25, the word drug means a wide variety of possibilities. Drug can mean fun, energy to study for a test, ecstasy, enjoyment of music, enhancement of the senses, religious revelation, expansion of consciousness, acceleration of learning. For the last few months, I have been lecturing to audiences about the psychochemical revolution. I pointed out that almost every neurological laboratory in the country is working with some chemical which can accelerate learning, expand consciousness, enhance memory, increase creativity. I tell these audiences that in the future, the question will be asked, not what book do you read, but which molecules are you using in your learning process? As I make these predictions, I watch the face of the audience, and I see the men over 40 frown in amazement and irritation. Is this fool suggesting that our college students become dope addicts? And I watch the faces of the young people saying, sure, where can we get it? When do we start? Any pioneer in the field of knowledge must, if he's going to retain his sanity and good humor, remember the lesson of history. It takes one generation for a new breakthrough to become absorbed and used. The young graduate students and psychiatric residents who were working on our project 6 years ago have now moved up to positions of responsibility in the universities and clinics. The undergraduates are now just about ready to take over, and the high school students of 6 years ago are now graduate students. The next 6 years will be a period of dramatic change in regard to the social acceptance of such psychedelic drugs as marijuana and LSD. By 1970, we'll have our first LSD congressman and our first marijuana smoking judges. You can see this slowly evolving change taking place right now. The New York Times, which used to be considered a liberal magazine, is written by lovely, dignified gentlemen in their 50s who are horrified and confused by the psychedelic revolution. The New York Daily News, which considered a highly conservative right-wing newspaper, takes a breezy, open, and amused posture towards LSD and marijuana. Why? Because the average news reporter is in his 30s. Over one-third of the researchers and editorial assistants on Life magazine have smoked marijuana or used LSD. And by 1970, this figure will have doubled. But now that the psychedelic battle has been won, where do we go next? What should be the goals and strategies of a psychedelic generation? I have three things to say to young people who are growing up in a psychedelic world. Turn on, tune in, and drop out. First, let me tell you about turning on. There are as many levels of consciousness as there are anatomical structures in your body for receiving and decoding energy. The five most important levels of consciousness are sleep, symbol, sense, cellular awareness, and molecular consciousness. Each of these levels of consciousness is based on anatomical structures in your body, and each level is attained through chemical means. In the future, the educated man will be the one who can move his consciousness deliberately, planfully, and precisely from one level to another for specific and harmonious purposes. The religion of the future will be based, as were the religions of the past, upon the human body and the myriad wonders within this temple. Any external event which distracts you from learning how to understand and use the machinery of consciousness within your body is irreverent and irrelevant. Within the temple of your body, there are hundreds of shrines, each of which can produce a revelatory and ecstatic experience, which is unique and meaningful in its own right. Psychochemicals are the instruments of the new knowledge and the sacraments of the new religion. But do not be deceived. The yoga of drugs is the most complicated, difficult, and demanding discipline of them all. Our present adult culture is based on two levels of consciousness and uses drugs promiscuously and lavishly to produce these two levels of consciousness. Sleep and symbolic game-playing awareness. The average American knows how to put himself in a state of somnambulance and stupor by using our most popular drugs, the barbiturates, tranquilizers, and alcohol, all of which are addictive, narcotic, and toxic substances. They dope you, and they can kill you. The average American is heavily addicted to the symbolic level of consciousness, hooked to external, tribal patterns, which he calls normal reality. The average American uses drugs to put his consciousness in a state of symbolic game playing. The first thing he does in the morning is take coffee or caffeine. The American who's involved in hectic, demanding game playing sequences takes an energizer. At 5 o'clock, with symbols and symbolic sequences whizzing around in his head, the average American rushes home and puts himself in a mild state of stupor with alcohol. Drugs which stupefy and drugs which energize are simple, coarse, and vulgar procedures. They require no sensitivity, training, or skill. Chemicals which open up the mind, accelerate mental activity, and deepen consciousness demand lengthy training and disciplined, systematic study. Marijuana, for example, is a chemical which enhances the sensory level of consciousness. Marijuana is used to tune out the symbolic game and to turn on the senses. The retina of the eye quivers as light hurtles into it at the speed of 186,000 miles a second. The delicate membrane of the ear trembles to the dance of sound waves. This is why marijuana adepts turn on before they go to a museum or to a flower garden, or why musicians have for many years used cannabis as an enhancer of their auditory sensibility and their musical creativity. It is also well known that marijuana enlivens the senses of taste and touch and smell. Just mention food to the novice smoking marijuana, and he suddenly discovers he's ravenously hungry and that food has never tasted quite so good before. Of course not. Because eating, to the symbol addict, is like fueling a car. But to the person turned on with marijuana, each grain of food sets off grenade explosions of sensation in the taste buds of the tongue.